Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, welcome along. It's Monday. It is the Racing Post Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. Maddie's away, so I'm stepping in, and I'm delighted to be joined by the rest of the usual Monday crew, Nick Watts and Tom Siegel, plus from Paddy Power, Tom Nugent. Right, tons to get through today, as well as looking back on last weekend where we had Enable's glorious comeback, Harry Angel's shock reverse, and various other bits and pieces going on. We're looking ahead mostly today because there's absolutely tons coming up. Four fantastic days of action on Town Moor in Doncaster. It's the St. Ledger week. And we've also got the fantastic Irish Champions weekend as well. There's loads happening. We've even got the Kerry National. Hopefully the two Toms and Nick are brimming with wisdom and winners. Let's start then by looking ahead to the final classic of the season. It takes place at Doncaster on Saturday, 3:35. The William Hill St. Ledger. Kew Gardens is the favourite. Just how short is he at the moment, Tom?
Indeed, 11-8, Kew Gardens the favourite for the Ledger at the minute. Old Persian next in, 5-1. Latidar, 6-1. Southern France, 8s alongside La Trobe and Loxley, and 12-1 and bigger the rest.
First of all, Nick Watts, what do you think the weather is going to throw at us? What will the ground be like at Donny?
I did have a look at this before I came on just to check things out, and I think there's some rain forecast for like Tuesday into Wednesday, and from then it's due to dry up. So I don't think it's going to be lightning quick. I don't think it's going to be soft. I think it's just going to be a nice level playing field for all of them. So hopefully that's what we'll get and there'll be no excuses.
That's the big question. The second big question then is, will Kew Gardens win the Ledger, Tom Siegel?
Probably yes, Bruce. Whether I want to back him at 5-4, I think is debatable. 11-8, was it, Tom? There, I can't remember now. Yeah, 11-8. Look, he's the best horse in the race. I think he's won the Group One. I don't think there's another horse in there that's won a Group One. The only doubt I had about him would have been very soft ground. I don't think we're going to get that, as Nick Watts has just pointed out. I thought his trial in the Voltigeur was eye-catching, really, because he was one of those horses. He had to miss the King George, didn't he, because he was ill. And so he was one of those horses that was well behind, according to Aidan, that just getting up to speed again in the Voltigeur. I think he'll reverse the form with Old Persian, but I'm not sure. He's miles ahead of a few of the others in the race, including some of his stable companions. And so I'm not convinced I want to back him at 11-8.
Who would you want to back?
I would want to back, believe it or not, DXB a bit each way. I think his Derby form is better than Kew Gardens is. Well, I know it's because Kew Gardens was miles behind, and I think he's had reasons why he hasn't run so well the last few times. I actually didn't think he ran too badly at all at Goodwood last time behind Cross Counter. Cross Counter was second in the Voltigeur ahead of Kew Gardens. I think the step up in trip will suit him. I think any ease in the ground will suit him. And I think he's much better than we've seen under unsuitable conditions the last few times.
Okay, Tom Nugent, who's your Ledger fancy?
Wouldn't mind Raymond Tusk each way at 14s. I know Richard Hannon thinks an awful lot of him. He gave a quote to the Racing Post there after the Geoffrey Freer finished second behind the good horse of Godolphin's Hamada, who goes for the Melbourne Cup, and he seems to absolutely love him. Now, on the third run of his life, he got absolutely thumped in the Eclipse and went up to Hamilton then and won a listed race. And apparently, I think the quote said from Hannon that he lost a lot of weight on the way back and he would have improved a fair bit. He absolutely loves him, improving all the time. So I'd take a chance with Raymond Tusk at 14-1 each way.
Watsy, before you give us your fancy, if you were giving this St. Ledger field a mark out of 10, 10 being the greatest ever, naught being what are all these selling platers doing in here, what would you give this field?
God, it's hard. I'd give it a 5 or a 6. I've seen better. I think there's been worse. I think the one with star quality, if she did happen to turn up, could be Latidar. I still don't know if it's the intention to run, but she's still in the field as of today. She's 6-1. And she won the Pretty Polly back in the spring, had a massive long gap, came back in the Gauchos, and we all saw what she did then. She won by 10 lengths. This broodmare, Dar Amy, is throwing some fantastic foals, and I'm sure we'll get on to do too darn hot in a little while. But Yeah, Latidar looks another one. Looks absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I accept that Kew Gardens is favourite, and rightly so. And he's bounced back well. He's only ninth in the Derby, but since then, obviously, he's won the Grand Prix de Paris. Very eye-catching trial. I completely agree with Tom about the Voltigeur. I expect him to reverse the form with Old Persian. So if he was to run and Latidar didn't, I'd be totally in his camp. But if the filly runs, then I'm in hers at 6-1.
What do you think, Watsy? Do you think she'll run? I don't think she'll run, do you? I think she'll go for the Vermeil. We shouldn't forget the Arc trials on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure.
Possibly, Tom, but on the other hand, you know, why not? I mean, Gosden's a massive supporter of St. Ledger over the years, hasn't he? And, you know, she's got that quality. I think she could. I don't think there's anything exceptional in this field. Kew Gardens is solid, but he's not spectacular.
Haven't they smashed the prize money up with these French trials this year?
Yeah.
Worth miles more, aren't they?
Yeah.
You think they don't think about that, but of course they do, don't they? That's what we're all here for, to win prize money. What would you give this Ledger field out of 10, Tom Siegel?
In terms of what we've got around at the
quality.
Moment,
just yeah, in terms of overall quality.
You know, going back over the years, it's not high, but in terms of what we got around at the moment, who are we missing? You know, we've got the Derby second, we've got, you know, the Latidar maybe, we've got all the horses that we've got loads of good horses in there. I just don't think there are that many good mile and a half horses around. We've got the Irish Derby winner, La Trobe, let's not forget him. So in terms of the horses that are around at the moment, they're basically the best we can offer. You know, got the Voltigeur winner. What more do we want? You know what I mean? It's just that there aren't that many good mile and a half horses this year.
No, that's my point.
So in terms of overall quality, it's not brilliant. But in terms of what we got, it's as good as we're going to get.
Right, let's look at the other three races at the other three big races at Doncaster on Saturday. I mean, the Portland Handicap. Does anyone want to proffer an opinion at this stage, or is it way too early? Watsy?
I had a very, very brief look, and Blue de Vega's a horse I've been following for a little while now. It's moved to Robert Cowell. Won at Ascot 4 starts ago. Held his form well since. The slight step up in trip. This is 5.5 furlongs rather than 5. I think will suit him. So, each way chance. But you know, I really haven't had an in-depth look at it.
Tom Nugent, anything on your Portland radar?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And Siegel?
Yeah. Captain Colby, Bruce. Captain Colby. I think he's gone to Paul Midgley. He's been there for a bit now, but I think Watsy will be able to help me. I think he's run really well in this race before when he was trained by Ed Walker. Yeah, he won it 2 years ago. I think he ran well last year again behind Spring Loaded. I think he's the type of horse that's clearly been set out for the race, so I think he'd go well.
Okay, I didn't call you Siegel disrespectfully. It was just to differentiate between the two Toms. We've got the Park Stakes, the 225. Maybe Sir Dancelot, if they give him another outing. Larchmont Lad, Watsy, anything yet?
Moustachery would be the interesting one for me. Dropping in trip back to 7 furlongs. I think he'll cope with that. Second by Lord Glitters last time at York, over a mile and a furlong. Only just done out of it, but he kind of just flattened out close home, so he might be suited by this slightly shorter trip.
Tom Nugent, anything for you on the Park Stakes at this early juncture?
Breton Rock at the rating still would be at the top of it and will probably be a big price just because doesn't have a massively sexy profile, so he could be an interesting one depending on how many run. If you got your 1, 2, 3, he could be in each way pot.
Tom, anything catch your eye at this
ground
stage?
Thing, ground for me, Bruce. If it's soft ground, Dubai maybe for Charlie Appleby. If it's good fast ground, Dutch Connection. I think he's got a bit of a class edge on these. Really, he's got a Group One form, and I can see him bouncing back.
Okay, the 3 o'clock is the Champagne Stakes, and this actually could almost be the most captivating race on the card, couldn't it? The 2-year-olds. If you get Dark Vision, Van Bayer over, and a couple of others, I mean, this could be really good. What's the Quarto? He's decent, isn't he? Watsy, who floats your boat on this one?
Well, it's got to be the horse I already mentioned, Too Darn Hot. Dark Vision and the others make it a tremendous race. We've got a good line on the two of them through a horse called Confiding, who's run against Dark Vision and Too Darn Hot. Too Darn Hot absolutely thrashed him last time in the Solario, but much further than Dark Vision did. I was so taken with that Solario performance. I find it impossible to oppose him, and it doesn't matter what you throw in there, Dark Vision, Yvan Beethoven's or whatever, I would expect Too Darn Hot to make it 3 from 3. I suppose slight concern he's coming back so quick, but they did nominate this race for him immediately after the Sandown display, and he was still quite green then, so he probably needs the experience a little bit, so I'm not going to oppose him.
Tom Siegel, I'm quite encouraged by some of the 2-year-olds that we've been seeing lately, aren't you? I mean, this could be a real hot race, this, couldn't it?
Absolutely love the 2-year-olds, Bruce. I think this is the best 2-year-old race we've seen this season. If they all run, we got Too Darn Hot, the Solario winner. We got Quarto, the superlative winner. We've got Phoenix of Spain, perhaps. We haven't even mentioned the Acom winner. We got the Vintage Stakes winner if he runs Dark Vision. We're really, all those 7 furlong form. We haven't even mentioned any of Aidan O'Brien's horses. All those 7 furlong group winners, they all look like they're turning up here. I'm with Watsy. I think Too Darn Hot is brilliant. I think he's super exceptional. Dark Vision for me has got masses to prove. I think the form at Goodwood was, I thought it was a bit of a fluke. They went way too hard and he sort of just picked up the pieces late on. I like the Charlie Hill's horse to Phoenix of Spain, but I think he'll be better. He's a big old weak thing. I think he'll be better next year. And Quarto, though, is very, very good. He's a very well bred horse. Dubawi out of a horse of Luca Kumani's that won over a mile and a half. So I think he's going to stay really well. I think those, I basically think those two, Quarto and Too Darn Hot, might be the best 7 furlong 2-year-olds we've seen in this country this season. So if they turn up and take each other on, it's the race of the week for me.
No betting as yet, Tom Nugent, but I guess if Too Darn Hot does run, he's going to absolutely dominate the market, isn't he?
Yeah, you'd imagine so. He's quite a long way clear on his Racing Post rating anyway. And just the visual impression he made the last day, when he quickened up, like, it just made your jaw hit the floor. So it'd be very interesting to see what price the lads throw him up for a show. I haven't a clue what price they'll make him now, to be honest.
Okay, let's look at Ireland next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look now at Irish Champions Weekend. I still think it's a slight slight disappointment that Irish Champions Weekend clashes with the St Ledger, but something's got to give, and the beauty is that it's given us an absolutely fantastic weekend, packed with action wherever you look. So they're racing at Leopardstown on Saturday and they go across the Curra on Sunday. But the main action of the weekend takes place 6:45 at Leopardstown on Saturday. It's the Kipco Irish Champion Stakes. Let's have some betting. Tom Nugent.
Yeah, Roaring Lion tops the market at the moment. 5-4 favourite. Saxon Warrior next in 7-2. Then it's 8-1 Cracksman and Study of Man. 14-1 Lancaster Bomber and Verbal Dexterity. And 16-1 Bar.
Might we see the old A-mod, do you think, Tom Siegel? Amerigo Modigliani?
We might do, Bruce. He'd have to be bloody very, very good to win this on his comeback run. What I want to ask Tom there is, what do you think the ground's going to be over there, Tom? Do you think it'll be soft?
I don't think so. Now, we haven't had a huge... We've had bits and pieces of rain, but we're still kind of have that summer ground. Like, we've had one of the driest years and years, and Leopardstown is one of the best drain tracks in the country. So any bit of rain is probably just running straight off. Now, I haven't been out there, I haven't walked it, but I'd be very surprised if we do get rain. I think we're due a couple of mils tonight, but we're not due a huge amount during the week. So I'd be surprised if it was soft now.
Well, there we are. Then that answers my question. Roaring Lion will win, Bruce.
Who will? Roaring Lion will win.
Yeah, I think he'll just win, yeah.
Tom, can you just explain to me this lingering notion that Saxon Warrior is a top-class racehorse? I mean, I know the Guineas was fantastic, but he's basically turned into, you know, just an also-ran since then. So if he's 7-2 now, that means I can play Slam again, doesn't it?
You can place Lamb. He does place quite a lot, Bruce, though. I mean, he hasn't been out the four. I know you would have got some, you know, it's only small fields, but look, I'm with you. He's just simply not as good as Roaring Lion. That's the thing. So 7-2, I don't understand the price. I think he should be much bigger than that. French Derby winner Study of Man's in there. It's a really brilliant race, isn't it? But I just think from what he's done the last twice, Roaring Lion is way ahead of these. I think he's a really, really top class horse. He's on your wall in the at home, this Roaring Lion. I just think he's really good, and I think he'll win.
You discovered him, Watsy, didn't you?
Well, I don't know about that, Bruce, but I mean the progress he's made this season has been stunning. I mean, when you think Saxon Warrior won the Guineas, he was just back in fifth on the back of a slightly lackluster run in a Craven. He's just come forward so much since then, and it's a tribute to him that he managed to place in the Derby, even though he blatantly doesn't stay a mile and a half. Since he dropped back to a mile and two, just got better and better. And I know Saxon Warrior gave him a good race in the Eclipse, but like you said, I think he's had a bit of a rough time with the bug that was going around the O'Brien yard, but he just seems to have plateaued, whereas the Roaring Lion has just gone from strength to strength, and his performance at York last time was exceptional, even allowing for the fact that Poet's Word didn't get the best run through. He was by far the best horse in the race. He's got a lot of speed, and you know, I expect him to show it and to win well on Saturday.
Are we going to get 3 votes for Roaring Lion, Tom Nugent?
Looking down through it, it's hard to take him on. I'd agree with the lads. I thought 7-2 about Saxon Warrior is very, very short. I don't know if Cracksman's definitely going to come. Study a Man, that French classic form, maybe he needs a bit more cut. Lancaster Bomber, is he good enough to beat him? Maybe not. Verbal Dexterity needs a cut. And Ben Battle hasn't done much since he came back from Dubai. So, I personally find it, look, it's very unoriginal to tip up a favourite, but I'm just finding it hard to make a case for anything else.
It's very hard to make a case, I should think, for anything else in the Matron Stakes as well, the 5.35. How short is Alpha Centauri at the moment, Tom?
2-5 at the last time I checked, and it is still the case. Yeah, 2-5 Alpha Centauri. Al Jazzy next in at 10-1 alongside Magical and Lawrence, and 12-1 and bigger the rest.
Tom Siegel, could we just go with a little Roaring Lion Alpha double?
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's funny, isn't it? Because I think we did a few of these a few months ago, Brucey, and we were saying, oh, it's not been a great flat season, has it? And we're a bit down about it. But since then, we've had some really top-class performances. I think the top of the horses are really, really exceptional. I don't think there's that many of them, which makes some of the races uncompetitive. But I think Alpha Centauri, Roaring Lion, Batash, when he's on his day, you know, they're absolutely as good as we've seen. And I think Alpha Centauri is as good a filly as I've seen for over a mile for ages. I cannot see any way anything can get near her. The only issue would be if it bucketed down with rain. But our resident Michael Fish over there in Dublin tells us it's not going to happen. So, people get bored about races like this when it's so one-sided. But I think any time we see Alpha Centauri runs a good day in my book, I can't wait to see her again. I just think she's brilliant.
She is, but she's also getting backable, isn't she there, Tom? I mean, like I say, even just as an enhancer, I mean, it seems a decent price. Watsy, will you be smashing up the double, do you think?
Yeah, I probably would. And you go back to this weekend's results, Recolitos winning in France yesterday just underlined again the strength of Alpha Centauri and how she stands above all the rest in this category. I expect her to win well. If they sent Lawrence over, I think they could pick up a nice bit of place money, but I don't see them getting near the favourite. So, yeah, I think the double is a fair bet.
OK, brace yourself for that, Tom Nugent. Tom Nugent, give us anything else that you like at Leopardstown on Saturday or indeed at the Curragh on Sunday.
Oh, God above. Well, if you want back to the double, probably is 9-4 on site with Paddy Power at the minute. And to be honest with you, Bruce, I haven't really gone through the card to a huge extent yet for the weekend. So
that's absolutely fine.
I'll keep
Tom,
my powder dry.
We will be back on Friday for a proper in-depth look at the weekend. Anything else, Tom, that you're looking forward to seeing run in Ireland over the weekend?
Yeah, I love the 2-year-old races, Brucey. As I say, I'm really looking forward to the Group 1. The National Stakes, I'm looking forward to seeing Anthony Van Dyke, who sort of, I think, is Aidan O'Brien's sort of best 2-year-old so far. I know people are talking about 10 sovereigns and he might be a bit quicker, but I think he's really, really good. And I if Quarto doesn't turn up at Doncaster to take on Too Darn Hot, then it would be a great race between those two. I'm a big Quarto fan. I think he's sort of gone under the radar. I think a little bit of ease in the ground, which I expect there to be at the Curragh. I know it's not going to be fast anymore. I don't think now we're into the middle of September. I think he'll be really good. So for me, Porto is the horse I'm most looking forward to seeing on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. His name cropped up this morning. We were talking about the weekend, and it's basically a lot has happened on the 2-year-old scene since he last did his thing, isn't it? But he could still be the governor, couldn't he? Nick, what else are you looking forward to seeing in Ireland this weekend?
There's a 2-year-old Kevin Prendergast called Mad Moon, who won on his debut at Leopardstown, won really nicely. Beat a horse called Sydney Opera House of Aidens, who's come out and won really well since then. He's in a Group 2 at Leopardstown on Saturday. I think he's also in the National Stakes, but if he went for that easier one, the Group 2 on the Saturday, I think he'll take a lot of beating.
Excellent. Jolly good. Well, there's loads more great stuff between now and the weekend. We'll be looking ahead to that and looking back on the weekend next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Tom Siegel, Nick Watts and Paddy Powers, Tom Nugent. Okay, before we get to the Ledger and the Irish Champions weekend, which we've already touched upon, there's some decent stuff. 3 other days at Doncaster and a big day over in Listowel. On Wednesday, it's the Kerry National. The likes of Jury Duty, Snow Falcon, all those old favourites are running. And we'll do that one next. Tom Nugent, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, we're Snow Falcon at the top of it, 6-1 alongside Blazer. Jury Duty next in, 7-1 Rogue Angel, 9s, 12-1 Peregrine Run and View Morvan, 14-1 and bigger the rest.
And we'll stick with you, Tom Nugent, for the winner.
I quite like the look of Slow Motion originally. She's a grand graded mare. She's been placed in a couple of grade threes and she was 9th in this last year when it was absolutely bottomless. She's still relatively well treated. I think she's £4 lower now than she was last year. I think better ground will suit her. And there was a couple of English horses thrown in. I was very interested to see Del Arca is in the betting at the minute.
Yeah, he's rejuvenated, the old Del Arca.
As is. Del Arco won on the flat, didn't he, the last time? And Shantou Village is in there. I'm of the general opinion now, in the last couple of years anyway, and the lads might have an opinion on this as well, that English horses coming to Ireland are often underestimated by the handicapper, whereas Irish horses going to England can often be overestimated.
Oh, here we go.
Cheltenham. You only had the first three in the Grand National. Bring out the violins.
Well, on the flat anyway, when the English horses come, they tend to be very, very successful.
Which handicaps are we on this season?
Midgley would often bring a few over to the Curragh and pick up a few of the bigger handicaps, wouldn't he?
I don't think we've done it this year, though, have we? I think you've sorted that out. I think you've sorted us out good and proper.
Anyway,
it
would just be interesting to see Shantou Village and particularly Del Arca in the Kerry Nationals. Interesting to see if they're backed on the day.
I've got to say, before Tom got his violin out and started whining about Irish handicap marks, Tom Seagrave, does it amaze me how many potential opportunities in Ireland tend to go begging from the English trainers? You know, you look at both flat and jumps, there's some fantastic prize money offer over there. It just seems to be the same small group of trainers who go for it. It's weird, isn't it?
Bruce, I agree more with you. I've written about this many times in the Weekender. It's a little bit embarrassing that we moan about, some of our trainers moan about prize money, and then they have these 60 or 70 grand handicaps out there with the bottom rated horse will be 120, 125, which are basically, and they'll opt to run at Kelso or Newton Abbott, offer 125 for £4,000 and then say we haven't got any prize money. It's absurd. I couldn't agree more with you.
And don't forget, a pound is a euro now. So a 60,000 euro event used to be £40,000. It's now £60,000.
Correct.
They're missing out. They're massively missing out.
I mean, this Kerry National is 118,000 euros, you know, to the winner. You know, it's great that Neil Mulholland and David Pipe have gone over. They're two of our more forward-thinking trainers. But there should be 15 runners in that.
Yeah.
15 English entries in that, because that's the way... You know, you can't complain about the prize money at Newton Abbott at Cartmel and then throw up an opportunity to run in a race like that. It's
and
madness.
And also well-handicapped, according to Tom. Now, listen, Tom, I want you to keep your powder dry, because in Wednesday's Racing Post, you'll be naming the winner of the Kerry National, hopefully. Just give us a clue. Where might you be looking at the top of the weights, or have you had a good look at it yet?
I've had a good look at it. I was disappointed to see... my Hennessy selection, actually, Snow Falcon. I'm really looking forward to seeing Snow Falcon one day running a Hennessy
There's
at
no
Newbury.
Such race.
The Ladbrokes Trophy. I call it the Hennessy every week, and thank you for sorting me out there. The Ladbrokes Trophy race at Newbury, Snow Falcon. I think he's a really good horse, but he's got an issue with his jumping, hasn't he? In the Galway Plate last time, I think he took about four fences home. He did incredibly well to finish fourth. He stays 3 miles well, and I think he's a really, really well-handicapped horse over fences. But 6-1 when he jumps like that is going to be an issue for him. So, you know, normally when I do these races, Bruce, these staying handicaps, it's simple. Look for what Gordon Elliott's running and choose the wrong one normally. But but that's what I'll be doing, because he will have targeted the race. He's won it I think he dominated it recently. Just checking now, but he's won it the last twice. Potter's Point won it last year. Wrath of Titans won it the year before. We've hardly heard of them since. I just think, you know, the first place you got to look is with him, because he's got 400 horses and he's going to have targeted some of them at this race.
Watsy, have you sussed the Kerry National winner?
I actually agree with Tom Nugent. I think Slow Motion's got an excellent chance. I think she's been crying out for a bit of good ground, which is apparently what it is at Listowel at the moment. She doesn't like that bottomless stuff that you get in winter, so her form has a bit of an uneven look to it, but she's very high class on her day. And you go back to the Plate last year, the Galway Plate, she was third behind Balco de Flo, who's won at Cheltenham this season, not beaten very far at all. That's the kind of performance she's capable of. She wasn't beaten a million miles in the Galway Plate last time. I think she finished sixth to Snow Falcon's fourth, so it wasn't a dreadful run. And I just think this, if it is better ground, it will just help her enormously, help her travel into the race. And I think she's, 14-1, I think Tom said she was. I think she's outstanding value.
Tom Nugent, I must be the only English horse racing fan who's been to Listowel, but not for racing. I was passing through on my way down to, I think, what's the golf course down there? Ballybunion?
Oh, yeah, lovely, yeah.
Yeah, that was lovely. But what's the race course like? Is it a nice day out down
there? To my eternal shame, I've never been racing in Listowel.
Oh, my goodness.
To my eternal shame, I've never been down there, yeah. I'm from the other side of the country. I'm from Kilkenny, so I would have grown up on East Coast tracks, but I've never been down to Listowel.
What's the point, Bruce? How did you get on round Ballybunion? Hardest golf course I've ever played.
Do not ask, honestly. I'll tell you what. We had caddies. My mate said, come on, let's get a caddy. I was like, oh, I don't need a caddy, honestly. So we had caddies. And if you remember the first tee, Tom,
yeah.
there's a graveyard right opposite you, and it's literally at 90 degrees to where you want to hit. And my first tee shot, with thousands and thousands of people backed up on the queue looking, ended up in the graveyard. It was almost impossible, but golf course was ridiculous.
I've got a good Ballybunion story. I went there with about 20 years ago with my brother, and we were doing a tour of golf courses around Ireland, and we were sitting playing Ballybunion. We were playing the fourth, and it's all in those dunes, you know, in those dunes. And behind us was Dick Spring, who was the president, was he, at the time, Tom, of Ireland?
I don't know. He wasn't. He was in the government here. I think he was Minister for Finance.
Minister of Finance. And he was playing behind. We didn't know who it was. And every time we went around one of these dunes, a bloke with a gun would step up on the top, because he had all his protection all around him. It was so frightening.
It's hard course, that.
It was really hard. But it's great fun, isn't it?
The golf course at Doncaster doesn't look anything like as hard. Let's switch our attention back to Doncaster, because we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We've got the Ledger Legends Day on Wednesday, which is always a good crack. Thursday, you've got the Weatherby's Bank 300 grand two-year-old race, and there's various other bits and pieces going. Give us one horse to look out for from Wednesday to Friday at Doncaster, Tom Siegel.
Right, well, I like the two-year-olds, as I say, as a filly of... Saeed Bin Saror's called Dubai Beauty, who might run in the Mayhill. She's not jocked up at the moment, but she was really, really impressive, I thought, at Newmarket. She's by Frankel. She beat a horse of Richard Hannes called Posted, who was really well backed to win a group race afterwards, but sort of missed the break and didn't do as much for the form. But the two of them were miles clear. So Dubai Beauty is a filly by Frankel, two-year-old. So Saeed Bin Saror, who I've been waiting for, if she runs in the Mayhill, I think she'll have a cracking chance.
And that's what day, Thomas?
That is on the Thursday.
On the Thursday. Watsy, where should we be looking for a bit of value?
Yeah, this 335, as mentioned here, the Weatherby's Racing Bank 300 grand race. Brian Meehan's got one called Athmad in there, who won the first time out with Newbury. And Brian Meehan's horses, he tends to bring along slowly, and whatever they do first time, the better second time. So the fact he got a debut winner is quite eye-catching in itself. Won really, really nicely. The second horse, Cap Francais, has won since, so I think the form's reasonable. And he's entered in this 335, so if he makes the gig and he goes, then Athmad, Brian Meehan, so I would fancy strongly.
Let's look back on a fantastic weekend, which was enriched surprisingly by the amazing clash between Enable and Crystal Ocean. Well, it wasn't an amazing clash, but it was an amazing performance by Enable to come back and rout the stout beast. Really, really good performance. What does that mean for the ARC market now, Tom Nugent?
In the ARC, Enable went 6-4 from 9-2 joint fav. Next in a C class, 5-1 out from 9-2 joint fav. Cracksman next in sevens. Latidar 8-1. Crystal Ocean 12s. 14-1. Poet's Word and 18-1 bar.
And Tom Nugent, I'm thrusting a mythical €20 note into your mitt. Who are you going to have it on in the ARC?
I will probably, at the prices now, C of class at 5-1 with all the weight the three-year-old fillies will get, I'll probably back. But at the same time, you can't overlook Enable's performance off such a long layoff the last day. I know a lot of people will say that facilities at trainers' yards, and particularly in Newmarket, are so good these days that they can get horses fit off a long layoff. They don't need to go to the track at all. But it's still a very impressive performance to put away a good horse in second like she did at Kempton on Saturday. But if I had to have £20 right now, I'd probably back C-A class at 5-1.
Who'd you like out of those two fillies? Or indeed, should we look further down the list for the winner, Nick?
Yeah, we had a little chat about this a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned Cracksman's name because he's not a forgotten horse so much, but I just think those performances in the summer, I don't think...
He's a maligned horse, isn't he?
Yeah, and I just don't... I think things conspired against him in the summer. We had a very, very hot spell, and it baked the ground, and I just don't think he's suited to that kind of service. I think when it gets to the autumn, when it's a bit cooler, when you get a bit more rain around, I think that's when he'll come into his own again like he did at Ascot last year. So I think he's a very decent horse to have on your side for the autumn. I think the plan is to go for the ARC, and I wouldn't forget about him, because I think if there's just a little bit of cut in the ground at Longchamp, he'll come back to the kind of horse we saw at the back end of last season. We'll
You're
forget those.
You're not concerned by what you saw this summer. You're perfectly happy to exonerate him on them.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a red herring. I mean, John Gosden was saying, oh, he's more interested in the fillies now than his racing and all that kind of stuff. I think it's purely down to the fact that he doesn't like that sun-baked, hard surfaces that you get in the height of summer, and he's just better probably at the end of the season when it all just calms down a bit and it's a bit cooler.
Tom, are you as forgiving as Nick where Cracksman is concerned?
Stole my thunder, Bruce. Yes, I'm very much so. I mean, you look, even just go through the Racing Post ratings. I think his Ascot run when he was beaten the other day was his second highest ever Racing Post rating. So, first of all, he was beaten by a very good horse, but there was loads of mitigating circumstances. Very fast ground, hard race at Epsom the time before. It was still a good run. He was 8 lengths ahead of Hawkbill and a long way ahead of all the others in the race. It wasn't as bad as people made out. It's one of those situations where you've got a very high-profile horse, and if they don't deliver the goods, immediately they're maligned as though they're not as good as we thought they are. It's only it was one day, one race. Things didn't go well. He looked a bit funny. It wasn't pretty, admittedly. But I think back on soft ground, I think that's the key. I don't think he's ever been beaten on soft ground or ground with the word soft in it. I do think he's a chance. I don't like Sea of Glass for the race myself.
You don't?
No,
why?
I don't. One, I don't think her form's that good. It's Coronet and all those sort of things. I think we're quite clear that, you know, Enable and Cracksman are miles better than Coronet. And secondly, it's her style of racing. I think it's really hard. Unless you're Trev, she might be Trev, but she's 4-1. And I think we were backing Trev at bigger prices than that. And I know you were, Bruce, at this time,
so.
You know. And, you know, she's got that come. She's going to have to be. That's just the way they ride her. Now, they might change tactics and ride her more forward. But it's hard to do in the arc that. You know, come around the outside. Often it's a draw race down on that rail. We've seen it before. She'll have to be super exceptionally good to win it. She might be, but let's throw in the possibility of soft ground. I don't think she'd like that. She's not for me at all at the prices, Sea of Glass. I think it's between the two Gosden horses myself. I think they are light years ahead of the others on what we've seen so far. Poet's Word's the other one that you could give a chance to, because I think you can forget about his York run. But whether he will run in the race or maybe wait for the Champions Day, I'm not sure. But for me, it's the two Gosden horses. They're trained by the best trainer. They've got the best form. What more do you want?
Well, it sounds to me like we needn't bother watching Trials Day on Sunday in that case, if it's all made up. I mean, is there any horse running, Nick, at Longchamp on Sunday on Trials Day that you might think, hang on a sec, I'm interested to see that, because that one might actually develop into an ARC contender?
Well, the Gosden Ledger horse, if she does swerve that and goes to the ARC Trials on Sunday, as we mentioned, that would be definitely interesting if she went to the Vermeer and won that nicely. But the homegrown contenders from France, they don't really seem to be up to much this year. I don't think there's anything, particularly from Japan, that they've got that they're bringing over that's come with the reputation of horses of old, like Orfevre. So, yeah, I mean, the two Gosden horses, Enable and Cracksman, I think you don't need to look much further than that.
So, Tom, this Sunday, obviously, do you remember on Twitter, everyone, the first race would be run the Neil or whatever, and go, there's your ARC winner. Then half an hour later, it'd be the Vermeer, there's your ARC winner. And then the Foy came up, there's your ARC winner. But you don't think anyone will be the ARC winner on Sunday, no?
Well, I think the Vermeer's an interesting race. I agree with Watsy about La-Ti-Dar, because when after she won at York last time, that Gosden and Frankie said the St. Ledger straight away, didn't they? But then we had the story, you know, almost immediately the next day saying that, no, we're going to go for the Vermeer and the Ark. I think she's a very good filly. I much prefer her for the race than Sea of Glass, because I like her running style more. She's sort of a grinder. And I think, you know, if you got soft ground there, that would suit her. The race would suit her more than Sea of Glass. So I do think she's interesting. There's one I'd throw in there as well, who's a filly of Andre Farb's at a huge price. I don't know if she's going to run. She might go for the Champions Day. She might go. It's a horse called Musis Amica, who was second in the Diane over a mile and a quarter. Now, she's by Dawn Approach, and she's from a family that stayed 2 miles. She's been crying out for a mile and a half. That she did a bit of work, supposedly, at Longchamp at the weekend, and it was supposed to be exceptional. I think she's going for the Vermeer. She could throw her hat into the ring, but deep down, her La-Ti-Dar, Sea of Glass, they've got a mountain to climb. And Abel is just brilliant filly, isn't she? She's absolutely superb, as good as we've seen, I think. And for those two, for Sea of Glass and La-Ti-Dar to get to that level this soon, I think it's a massive task, and I'd much rather be back in Enable or Cracksman.
Tom Nugent, what price is that Farb thing that Tom gave a big up to there?
Obviously, someone in the trading room is of a similar opinion to Tom Segal, because it's not that big. Musis Amica is 13-2 for the Pre-Vermeer. La-Ti-Dar is the 11-10 favourite, and it's 5-1 bar.
Anything else we should be watching out for at Longchamp on Sunday, Tom?
I see Capri is in to make his comeback after winning the Alleged Stakes at the start of the season. He's in the pre-Niel. Now, he did get thumped in the arc last year, so I'm not sure if the plan is to go back and try again. But he's a horse I like. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on if he does run there.
Okay, let's look back to the Sprint Cup at Haydock on Saturday. Very heavy ground. Harry Angel came out. Everyone was concerned with whether he would trap. He absolutely pinged. But unfortunately, last couple of furlongs were a problem. He got well and truly run out of it. Nick Watts, what was your conclusion? What was your takeout from that race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you stopped the race two furlongs out, and I thought Harry Angel was going to do a similar thing to what he did last year. But obviously, I think his exuberance just got the better of him, and, you know, he didn't last home on the heavy ground. It's such a fine line with these sprinters that you tread, because they're so wired that they just have to get it slightly wrong and go a bit too fast early on. We've seen it with Battash before on occasions, and, you know, they just don't have enough for the finish, and he didn't. And it's hard to know what they're going to do with him now, because if he goes back to Ascot for the Champions Day sprint, he doesn't like Ascot, and, you know, he might have bad memories of what happened at, you know, the Raw meeting in June, and he's never won there. So I'm not sure where Harry Angel goes from here quite. As for the winner, the Tin Man, he's very solid. You'd imagine he would very much go to Ascot and Champions Day and go there with a good chance, because he does go well there. If you're looking at the form in kind of purist kind of terms, I'd be a bit disappointed that Gustav Klimt got so close. He was well beaten behind Sir Dancelot the previous time at Newbury, and he's had a few disappointing runs this season. So I don't know whether that just holds down the form a little bit. So hats off to the Tin Man. Question marks against Harry Angel. Not quite sure what they're going to do with him. And yeah, disappointed, I suppose, in a way that Gustav Klimt ran as well as he did and finished where he did.
A beautiful summary. Tom Siegel, anything to add? Is it almost the case that the Harry Angel team was so desperate to get him out of the stalls that they, you know, they almost, that was job done, and they were thinking this is good, but they've got him out too G'd up, really, haven't they? I mean, he just absolutely was so lit up, wasn't he, for the first half of the race?
He was, but he's my number one horse off my list, Bruce, and has been all season. I didn't like him at York at the start of the season. He hung right across the track. He was worse. Obviously, we all saw what happened at Ascot. Now he's thrashed there. I mean, he starts short price every time. We've been talking about Cracksman, and everyone's sort of given up on Cracksman. He's done it once. Harry Angel's now done it two or three times. For me, he's just off the list. There's something wrong with him. I have no interest in Harry Angel in any race anymore. If he comes back, he's always going to be too short for me anyway. It's always 5-4, whatever race he runs in, because people are still remembering what he did last year. I don't think he's anything like the horse he was last year, so he's off. The Tin Man, I think, is a better horse this year than he was last year. If you look at all his runs this year, very good time when he won at Windsor, very unlucky at Ascot, badly drawn, incredibly badly drawn when he was third in the foray, was it, or whatever, the Maurice de Geest, when James Garfield and the Polly Dream, the three-year-olds, beat him on the other side of the track. Absolutely gutted I missed him on Saturday for the simple reason that it rained. I hate it when it rains like that, because I thought the Tin Man wasn't going to be at his best on the rain, but he was undoubtedly an improved horse.
He's a lovely horse, isn't he, Tom, eh?
He's absolutely brilliant. Never, ever runs a bad race. I think he's been one of the unluckiest horses in training for many, many a year. Everything, so many things have gone wrong for him. If you look back through his form, just go and look at his last two runs and just, you know, go into the Racing Post website and order the race by the draw, and you'll see how unlucky he's been. At Deauville last time, it was like 2019, 18, 17, and then there's a rogue draw two or draw three in there, and it was the Tin Man. He had no chance from the draw. He was much the best horse in the race, and I was so delighted for him on Saturday, simply because he's just one of my favourites. And although I missed him, it was just a great race to watch. I love him. I think he's a superb sprinter, and we should be talking about him, not Harry Angel, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was certainly a case of cometh the showers, cometh the man, wasn't it? What did you make of it, Tom Nugent? Good race.
Yeah, great race. Obviously, disappointing, as the lad said, to see Harry Angel kind of bum out a little bit. He just tanked through it, pinged the start and just tanked through it.
I'm sure when you see Paddy Power's monthly profit loss, you won't be quite so disappointed, but go on.
Well, as a racing fan, Bruce, you can be entitled to be a little bit disappointed. But the Tin Man now is a favourite for the British Champions Sprint Stakes, 3-1 favourite from 8-1 after the race. Blue Point is next in 6-1, Libreezy Breeze sixes. I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Angel is standing at stud in come February.
Fair enough. Right then, one more for the tracker before we go. Which horse caught your eye, Nick Watts?
Well, it's a horse that won at Ascot on Saturday called First 11, trained by John Gosden again. Disappointed on his previous start in the Bahrain Trophy. They'd given him a bit of time off. He was a very unlucky loser at the Raw meeting earlier in the season. Came back and won a handicap nicely. He's very, very well bred. I think he's a half-brother to Kingman, Sire Frankel. So doesn't come much better than that. It's taken him an age to get going, but he's getting there now. He'll go on soft ground, so he could have a good autumn.
OK, Tom Siegel, which is yours for the tracker?
I've got one horse, Akbar Shah, who won the last race at Ascot on Friday. Got a bit of a Spencer special. We came last to first, but he won by a long way. Won by 2.5 lengths. He was a maiden before going into this race.
Unlike a lot of those Spencer rides, you didn't actually have to wait till the last stride. He was always going to win.
Wasn't he impressive though?
Yeah, really.
He was only rated 76. Yeah. He'll go up 10 for that, but that won't stop him. He's got to be sort of on the radar for a race like the Wokingham going forward. One other one. Can I mention the jockey Jason Watson? Now,
yes.
I know everyone's been on about him for ages now and what a great jockey he is. I've taken ages to get hold of him, but I thought his ride on Ripoff on Saturday was truly exceptional.
Patience.
How good was that? He just waited and waited. While I was back in Spanish City, he went for home about 4 furlongs too soon. He waited and waited and waited and didn't get after him until too late. To me, that pointed out that he has been watching racing. So many jockeys, I think, just get on a horse and don't think about it. He has watched Ascot closely. He's realised what you need to win races there. You need to be patient. You need to wait. It's very stiff. Horses get running going for home too soon. And I thought his ride on Ripoff was truly exceptional, simply because, not because he did anything difficult, but he'd thought about it. And I love jockeys that think. He's right on my list.
And so you will be, for the rest of the flat season, when he's got a little pair of brackets and a number between them, you will be paying close attention to those mounts, I should imagine.
Well, not only does he get £3 off, but he's probably £4 better than 90% of them already as well anyway. So you're getting £7 for me for Jason Watson. I think he's exceptional.
Fantastic. And Tom Nugent, who have you had your beady eye on this weekend?
Not necessarily one for the tracker, but just something I copped, and a hat tip to Cheveley Park, because they won the three-year-old hurdle in Listowel on Sunday, the first race of the festival. They've sent Chief Justice to Gordon Elliott. Now, whatever he might be, it wasn't an amazing race, and he did win another race there before he switched. He won for Fahy in Worcester, I think, but fair play to them for sticking with him, because that's a horse now that could have found its way in a horse and training sales. But no, Cheveley Park have stuck with him and they've sent him to Gordon, and I wish them the very best of luck.
Nicely said. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. We have got a golf postcast on Wednesday. We've got football on Thursday, and we're back on Friday to look at the weekend racing action in depth. Do try and join us for all them. If not, back Monday. Goodbye.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.